in your face. Track Snow Day by Hannah Potter, and Hannah joins us in the studio. Welcome to 3CR.
Thank you. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the track. What's it all about?
Oh God, what's it all about? Well, basically, long story short, it's kind of a song that I wrote about looking back at kind of past experiences and being sad about how the fact that, like, maybe you knew somebody, you're never going to see them again. Maybe you were from somewhere that's never going to be the same place again. And just kind of like the reflection of like a loss of something, but also things are always changing. You know what I mean? you put me on the spot right away, haven't you?
Where did you record it?
I don't know. I recorded it above the gym in Collingwood. So with Rob Munoz, who has a studio above the gym, Rat Shack. Yeah, we recorded 8 songs over a few weekends, and that was the one I decided to put out first. So we recorded a whole album, me and my 2 bandmates, over a course of just like maybe like 4 days. So yeah, that's where we recorded it.
You've got a lot of musical history in the Collingwood, Fitzroy area. Yeah. You lived behind the old bar, right? And you've done lots of gigs. You've opened for punk bands.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of an eclectic history. Yeah, when I first moved to Melbourne when I was like 10 with my dad, we lived behind the old bar, and we still are patrons of a pub down the street where everybody at the front bar was, you know, a musician in some respect. So I had that kind of, you know, environment growing up, being surrounded by music. And they would take me to open mics when I was a teenager that I probably maybe shouldn't have been at like 14. So that was like a good, you know, stomping ground to have in terms of just like practicing and being in front of people. And when I was a bit older, late teens and stuff, I didn't seek out to do music really at all. It was just something that I always liked to do. And I had older friends who were like in actual bands, and they were like, "Well, Hannah, you should open for this band and on this night," kind of thing. People I didn't even know. And the people I knew who were making music were like hardcore, more punk bands. I wasn't aware of any sort of like folk scene or anything else like that. It wasn't really, didn't really register at the time. But it was kind of interesting. It kind of allowed me to kind of cut my teeth in environments where maybe I wasn't necessarily the general demographic. So yeah, I opened like weird metal gigs and stuff, and I'd just be like, you know, crazy short little redhead girl with a guitar by herself, and people would be like, "What? What is this?" But made it work somehow.
That must have really helped with your stage persona.
I don't know if I have a stage persona necessarily. I mean, I think I'm pretty good at handling a crowd. I think that just comes from, I think that's just my personality. And I think growing up around in a neighborhood and around like a pub environment where like banter is definitely a thing, you kind of like learn to be like, to push back, you know what I mean? Like you get a handle of how to deal with different people. So that was good practice, but I don't really have a stage persona necessarily. I think I'm just more like, I'm just me. Yeah.
So who were some of the bands that you saw when you were 14?
I wasn't like hugely going to shows when I was that young. It was just kind of, I mean, I would go to the old bar sometimes cause we had friends who had a short-lived like punk band called The Crabs, great name. They were that was like one of the groups that we would see. And I don't know if you ever heard of Brothers Grimm and the Blue Murders, who were around for a little while. Like, we knew like the drummer in that band, so I snuck into a few shows when I was a teenager. Probably shouldn't have been there either. But those are like the most memorable ones for me. I didn't actually start going to gigs really properly until I was in my late teens, and I was like going by myself and seeing Cash Savage and, you know, having my mind electrocuted by them. And I had no idea who Tropical Fuckstorm was until I was like maybe 18, 19. And my friends who were older at the time were like shocked. I didn't know who they were. They're like, oh my God, you don't know the Drones? I'm like, no. They sat me in a field and played them to me. You know what I mean? So yeah, I didn't have a lot of exposure to like the local music scene necessarily until I was a bit older and got into it to myself. Music for me when I was younger, when I first started playing, was more like going through all the albums in my dad's collection and singing along to them. And that's how I learned how to play and that kind of thing. Yeah.
It sounds like you've had a lot of musical mentoring. People have taken you under their wing and kind of, you know, exposed you to the music that they love. And that's given you a great grounding.
Yeah, no, it has. And, you know, I like a lot of different things, not just in music. So, you know, there's so much good stuff out there. It doesn't really depend on like a genre or anything like that or a specific place. My parents have a very eclectic musical taste, you know. Like every weekend, my dad and I would like go get a new CD kind of thing. Be like Molly Rock one week and, you know, Cat Power another week, that kind of thing. So, yeah, just exploring a lot in that way as a kid, yeah.
Tell us about the journey that brought you to Melbourne.
Oh, okay. Well, it was kind of random, actually. I was born in the States, country of crazy. I'm born in Colorado originally, and I moved here because my dad just kind of randomly got a job opportunity. Otherwise, I may still be there. So I moved here, just turned 10. So, yeah, it was just kind of an opportunity that just, like, you know, came up, and my dad was like, hell yeah, get me out of here. So yeah, that's how I ended up here. Very, very, very happenstance, yeah.
But I could see you touring there, yeah? Is that something that you've considered?
Not really, no. I don't really, I mean, I miss the place that I was born, but considering the current political climate, I don't really have any interest in going back there, to be honest. I don't really want to get stuck there, but that's a whole other talk. We could talk about that for hours. We don't have that much time.
You mentioned that you've just recorded a heap of tracks. Yeah. Tell us about some of the other ones.
Yeah, sure. Do you mean just like the kind of stories that are in them, or
yeah, really, they sound similar? Well, I'm just interested in the stories, really.
Yeah, sure. Well, a lot of them are actually old songs that I just kind of needed to get out of my body so I could move on. I started writing when I was about maybe 13, 14, I suppose, and they were just kind of for myself. So amongst, like, you know, learning how to play Cat Power covers, I was writing my own little sad songs. And so some of them, you know, over like the course of basically a decade, just kind of like stuck, and they didn't go anywhere. They were just like, we're here to stay. We got to do something with us. So maybe like a third of the tracks are like old songs that I just, you know, had to do something with. I think a lot of them are kind of different. There's a few, there's maybe like two rockier ones. I think Snow Day is kind of one of the slower, more like moodier ones. And, it's a little bit of a mix. Yeah.
So are you going to do some live gigs soon?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually doing an opening slot tonight at Nighthawks. Sonny Lamont is headlining, my friends BB Sabina. They're the second support act. So I'm going to be on at 8 p.m., I believe. So that'll be fun. And going to be doing a single launch at the retreat on May 28th. So it'll be a free show then.
Fantastic. I love the retreat. And also, I love BB Sabina. They were on the show a few weeks ago. We had Beth Ou from the band on. So that's fantastic.
I bought her a wine afterwards. No, we're really good friends. Yeah.
Fantastic. It'll be a great gig.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Now, what's happening on the album front?
On the album front, yeah. So I'm going to be releasing a second single shortly in like a month or so, and have another gig to launch that. And so I'm looking at a September release for the whole thing.
Fantastic. Then, how many tracks?
8. We recorded like 10 or 11, but we ended up just going with the 8 that we went with. Yeah.
Now tell us what the track is called, the new one that's coming out. What's the name of that track?
Oh, that's going to come out after the one that we just talked about. Judith's House is what it's going to be called.
Fantastic.
It's already called that.
That's a great title. Tell us about the significance of the title.
Yeah, sure. Well, it would have been like maybe 2022. I had a situation where I was living in a house and working a job. And within the same week, we got kicked out of our house and my work shut down. And I think, like a lot of people, I was just like losing my mind from, and I'd never been overseas before, just because I had a, you know, didn't have time, couldn't afford it kind of thing. But working just like heaps and not going anywhere, and you know, having this like thing that had happened, I was just like, oh my God, I need to leave. And I have a friend who's Dutch, who's from the Netherlands, who lives here, has a family here. So I basically called her that night and was like, who do you know that I can stay with? And I spent about 3 months hopping around through couches and spare bedrooms and people's unused saunas and stuff like that, who knew her. And I stayed with this one woman who lived in this tiny house by the woods, and she was absolute menace of a woman. She was great. She worked with horses, and I basically just ended up staying in this woman's house for like almost a week while she went off to like some drum festival. I don't even know what she was doing, but she was like, I bought you food and I'm leaving you alone with like my asthmatic cat. And I was like, cool. And I ended up writing a couple songs while I was there, just like camping out and going for walks in the woods, and kind of like, because like for a long time I wasn't really sure like who I was as an artist, you know what I mean? I had all these different influences and I was kind of confused which way I was going to go. And I think I was able to kind of take a lot of time while I was there by myself in this different place that I had no really connection or anything to. I was just like, oh, I'm kind of just figuring out what I want to do in this space kind of thing. The song isn't really about that. It's kind of, I'm comparing people and their traits with trees, which is pretty woo-woo and hippie sounding, but it's not. It's not. It's sad. Look at that broken limb. Oh, that's like someone I know.
I'm fascinated by the unused sauna that you stayed in. Tell us about that.
I was in a village in Czech, and this lovely family who are friends with one of my dad's best friends. And so I stayed with them for about a couple days. They have two kiddos who I was kind of hanging out with during that time. But they just had, like, I was there in summer. And they're like, oh, we have this spare space that you can sleep. And it was, like, their sauna that they weren't using. So that was fun. So I stayed up a couple nights in a row drinking whiskey with these crazy Czechs and discovering their dark humor and sleeping in their unused sauna.
Wow, you really know how to find an experience and make it into a song.
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I have a wealth of weird experiences to draw on. It's not a problem. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Hannah Potter, it has been delightful to meet you at 3CR.
You as well. Thank
Can't
you.
Can't wait to hear the next single. Can't wait to hear the album. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank
on 3CR.
You. Cheers.
3CR. Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.